Well, hello there, and welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. It's the 80th day of the year, and although they're saying it's the second day of spring, it's the first full day of spring after last night's equinox, and today is National Ravioli Day, near and dear to my heart. Say less, as the kids say. Ravioli, absolutely right up there at the top of my favorites list. And again, there was no winning ticket sold in last night's Mega Millions lottery. This is just crazy now. Four players did match five numbers, which is good for $1 million. I would have been more than happy to score that. The jackpot for Friday night's Mega Millions, now at an estimated $977 million, could grow to $1 billion by Friday night. And tonight, don't forget, tonight, Wednesday, the Powerball jackpot is $687 million. The take-it-all-at-once cash option will get you a little more than $327 million. $2 and a dream, as they say, and good luck. The other big story would have been yesterday's primaries, but President Biden and former President Trump went into yesterday as their party's presumptive nominees. Trump easily won Florida, Arizona, Ohio, Kansas, and Illinois, as did President Biden, except in Florida, Democrats had previously canceled their primary and awarded all of the delegates to Biden. So if you are a Marianne Williamson supporter in Florida or Dean Phillips supporter, or if you wanted to vote uncommitted, as I'm sure some Floridians did, they essentially said, your vote doesn't matter. We don't care. It's Biden or no one. Not very Democratic. The real story, though, is in Ohio. Both of the Trump-backed candidates there secured victories. Businessman Bernie Moreno beat State Senator Matt Dolan and Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. He will face Senator Sherrod Brown come November.
And I want to thank President Trump for all he did for me, for this campaign, for his unwavering support.
And State Representative Derek Marin, also backed by the former president, won over former State Rep Craig Rydell. Marin will face longtime Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur in November's general election, as the Republicans look to retain the House, maybe even grow the advantage, and win the Senate. And what about Texas? Caught up in this back and forth yesterday. It was crazy. Only hours after the Supreme Court said law enforcement in the Lone Star State would be allowed to arrest migrants crossing the border illegally, a federal appeals court put SB4 on hold. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said last night that the job shall remain in the hands of the feds while the case gets argued. Rob Finnerty, co-host of Wake Up America, immediately spoke about it with some of the experts this morning.
Joining us now for reaction is the former acting Border Patrol Commissioner Mark Morgan and former acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf. Gentlemen, good morning. This one, a lot to follow here over the last 10 hours or so. So when this all broke yesterday, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, tweeted out that in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court allows Texas to start enforcing SB4 that allows the arrest of illegal immigrants. Now, we still have a hearing in the Fifth Circuit appeals court, but this is clearly a positive development. And then moments later, Karine Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, tweeted out that we fundamentally disagree with the Supreme Court's order allowing Texas's harmful and unconstitutional law to go into effect. SB4 will not only make communities in Texas less safe, it will also burden law enforcement, which to me is gaslighting 101. Mark, to you first, what happened?
Yeah, first of all, the White House press secretary, her last part of that statement is that SB4 is going to sow chaos at the border. Are you kidding me? We've had an unmanageable level of chaos at all the southern border for the past 3 years, so it's just not serious. But look, this is a little bit of a legal technicality here that's allowed in our justice system right now. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals basically overruled United States Supreme Court. It's bizarre because the original district court order stayed SB4, said they couldn't implement it while they're waiting for the merits. The Court of Appeals then lifted that. And then that's what brought it to the Supreme Court, which Governor Abbott won. It goes back to the same appeals court and they reversed their original decision. And now we're back to where we were, square one.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, Chad, it basically, we'll see what happens today. But this basically means that law enforcement down there in Texas would have the ability to either deport a migrant or charge a migrant with criminal trespassing and let that play out in the courts in the state of Texas. But either way, Greg Abbott said this would be a huge win for the crisis along the 800 miles of border in Texas.
Well, undoubtedly, it's a win. It's a win because the federal government's refusing to do its job. And so Governor Abbott's having to, in the state of Texas, I should say, in the legislature, is really taking some unprecedented action here. And I think that's really important to recognize. I don't think the state of Texas and the governor would do what they're doing if the federal government and the Biden administration just did their job there in Texas along that border, preventing the illegal entry of hundreds of thousands and millions of migrants over the course of the last several years. This case will eventually go back to the Supreme Court to be ruled on the merits. It's obviously headed there. But look, I think this is a fundamental question that we have to solve, and the Supreme Court will eventually have to solve, is when the federal government refuses to act, refuses to do its inherent job, it's then incumbent upon the states and the governors of those states to actually protect their citizens. And that's what we're seeing here in the state of Texas.
That's former acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf on Wake Up America this morning. And last night, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton spoke with Eric Bolling about a separate ruling on that razor wire that Governor Abbott had put up.
At one point, you guys, the state of Texas and Governor Abbott had put up some razor wire, and it actually was working. It was keeping the illegals from going into Texas in a very vulnerable spot. The feds seem to want to pull that down. Where does that stand, sir?
So we're still in litigation over that. There's no injunction protecting us right now. But since that case, since we lost the injunction from the Supreme Court, there has been no razor wire cut down or any fences cut down by Border Patrol or any other federal agency. And we have continued to put more up.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on the balance with Eric Bolling. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers are working to push through a deal that was reached yesterday to avoid a government shutdown come midnight Friday. But some Republicans are still against it due to the lack of border provisions. This is Newsmax congressional correspondent Kilmeny Dukart.
This is for the remaining batch of appropriations bills for the fiscal year 2024. Speaker Johnson announcing the funding in a statement, which will include money for the State Department, Congress, and the Pentagon. Lawmakers, however, are skeptical, having not seen the text, and it's unclear at this point if Speaker Johnson will attempt his conference to forego that 72-hour review rule. Now, ahead of that agreement, the House Freedom Caucus had released a statement signed by more than 40 members saying that at some point, border security has to be more than something aspirational that we simply message on. Is there a point at which we refuse to let this happen on our watch, or is there no threshold of harm to our nation for which we would refuse to fund the government perpetrating the invasion? Well, Republican Senator Mike Lee releasing a lengthy statement on X referring to congressional leaders and President Biden as the firm. He says, we have reasons to be concerned that this bill will perpetuate a multi-trillion dollar deficit, be laden with corrupting earmarks, and fail to force Biden to secure the border. The fact that there's an agreement is hardly a reason to celebrate, especially if the firm plans to deny Congress any adequate opportunity to review, debate, amend the bill before it is passed in exactly the condition in which they present it sometime today or tomorrow. Senator Lee is urging members to say no to the firm. Now, again, we expect that legislative text to be released tomorrow. We expect quite a bit of opposition from some House Republicans, particularly in that group that we heard from the House Freedom Caucus, that were angry that a lot of the elements of H.R. 2, the immigration bill passed in the House, were not in these final bills for the Department of Homeland Security. But there is probably enough Democratic support to push it over the edge. And President Biden has indicated when it passes both chambers, he will sign it into law.
That's Newsmax congressional correspondent Kilmeny Dukart at the Capitol, where there will likely be some fireworks about this today. And you're probably not going to hear much about this outside of Newsmax, but former General Mark Milley testified on Capitol Hill yesterday about the Biden administration's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. Here's former Navy SEAL Carl Higbee.
On the 21st anniversary of the start of the Iraq War, which is today, former General Mark Milley He took the stand for his first hearing as a civilian to answer questions on how badly they botched the Afghanistan withdrawal. Now, and Milley made it seem like he was warning that this was bad from the get-go.
My analysis, my personal analysis, was that an accelerated withdrawal would likely lead to the general collapse of the Afghan security forces and the Afghan government, resulting in a large-scale civil war reminiscent of the 1990s or a complete Taliban takeover. In November 2020, DOD received orders from the White House to reduce troop levels, was that we needed to maintain a minimum force of 2,500 troops on the ground. It was only a matter of when, not if, the Afghan government would collapse and the Taliban would take control. And it was my view that absent those conditions, I was not in favor of a unilateral withdrawal of U.S. forces because of my assessment of the associated costs and risks.
Well, if that was really how you felt, you should have fought tooth and nail for the sake of your troops. You should have thrown your stars on the president's desk. If you really felt the way that you testified today, but you didn't. You, General Milley, your career was more important than your soldiers' lives. It is ridiculous. This is up and down the chain of command in this. Folks, this issue is near and dear to my heart. I was never in Afghanistan, but I was in Iraq twice, which had a similar outcome. I've had more friends than I would care to admit killed in both countries. Some right next to me in Iraq. And some the result of really bad policy, just like this.
He was a sniper at Abbey Gate and testified to us that he had the suicide bomber in his sights, that was identified on the Be on the Lookout. He sent the sniper photos and other related documents to his commanding officer for permission to engage the suicide bomber. Yet that warning was ignored.
And because of that, we added 13 more white markers to the hills of Arlington. And who was fired? Who lost their pension? No one. We just got this stupid hearing, like, where they credit their service. I mean, spare me.
I want to also recognize the 2,461 American military personnel who gave their life in Afghanistan for our country.
Gee. I'm sure that really comforts the mother raising kids with no father because of this bad policy. Then they always turn and try to make this about, oh, let's do lessons learned so it doesn't happen again. Well, that same Representative Meeks noted this.
So I look forward to hearing how the Defense Department, similar to the state's Afghanistan's AAR, has taken efforts to assess and learn from our withdrawal so that we do not repeat those mistakes in the future.
Yeah, I would love that too. But you know what? Those are pretty hollow words. Because this exact same thing happened in Iraq, where a friend of mine in my platoon was killed because of policy failures and rules of engagement just like this. And we didn't learn from that. And I would love to sit across the table from any of these people if they want to try to explain this away. I was there. They never learn anything. It's all lip service and political jargon. You want proof? Guess who led the Iraq withdrawal? It was Lloyd Austin. He screwed that up. He got people killed. People died. His withdrawal plan resulted in the rise of ISIS, killed who knows how many more. Then he got promoted to Secretary of Defense. Biden noted that this failure was the reason he was chosen. He said, quote, in an Atlantic article, General Austin got the job done, played a crucial role in bringing 150,000 American troops home from the theater of war. Well, how'd that turn out? Getting out before the next election was more important to these people and to Obama than getting everyone home alive, just like Afghanistan. And we learned nothing from it, nothing. And we repeated it again. These people should be in jail. Instead, you got the president checking his watch when bodies come home in boxes. Some people downplay this. They say, well, Carl, this shouldn't be front page. It damn well should be front page news. This is the cost of electing bad politicians. This happens on both sides of the aisle, too. This is not a partisan issue.
Powerful stuff from Carl Higbee, the host of Frontline, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. I would encourage you, because I couldn't play the whole thing, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that segment from yesterday's edition of Frontline. And how about the announcement yesterday from the Biden administration that Iran is poised to attack our drinking water supplies? National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan sent a warning letter to state governors asking them to be on guard for potential cyber attacks on critical infrastructure systems. I guess it was a little more than a year ago or so while I was working at the mighty WBT in Charlotte, North Carolina. The great colossus, as some of the folks there like to call it. Some of the most talented people that I've ever worked with in radio. And I've worked at some great stations. But we covered the attacks on several electrical power plants in various North Carolina and South Carolina locations. Do you remember that? Around a year ago or so, they said the same thing then. This shows how vulnerable we are, just like the AT&T outage a few weeks ago. It shows how vulnerable we are, but then nothing's ever done about it. The warning letter yesterday about the water supply was co-authored by Michael Regan, the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It cited ongoing threats from hackers that are linked to the governments of Iran and China, and warned that hackers associated with both countries have previously attacked water systems. If you are not already stocked up on water and food, you better start. And I'm not one of these, you know, big prepper guys, but it's obvious, okay? As a good friend of mine once said to me, what are you going to do when they come for your kids' Cheerios? Think about it. And let's wrap it up with Greg Kelly and Congressman Jim Jordan. I told you yesterday, former Trump aide Peter Navarro was reporting to prison after being convicted of contempt of Congress charges.
Congressman Jim Jordan, our favorite Republican from Ohio. Congressman Jordan, welcome back. How are
you? Good to be with you, Greg. I'm fine, thanks.
Poor Peter Navarro, right? Totally unfair. Yeah.
No, once again, just shows the double standard. I mean, what we found out last week from Robert Hur that Joe Biden can keep and disclose classified information. He can do so in special counsel Hur's language because he had strong motivations to ignore the rules around classified documents because he was writing a book for which he got paid $8 million. So he can do all that. But because he's a forgetful old man, we're not going to charge him. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro, as you pointed out, the only guy who's ever charged for, in a White House staffer for contempt of Congress, only by guy to be charged and actually now go, what, he's got a four-month prison term, not to mention what they've done to President Trump. So this, again, just another example of the double standard.
Can we take a look at Tony Bobulinski? Mm-hmm. I think the guy's a hero. This is when a lot of us first saw him, actually, and his pretty amazing story. Let's take a look.
I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Biden's history, the Biden's family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face-to-face.
He's going to be there at the House Oversight tomorrow. Yeah. Is there new information or, quite frankly, even if it's old, it's still dynamite? And we know Hunter really hates that guy. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think we'll highlight this whole access to the brand, what another business partner, Jason Galanis, called the Biden lift. They had this sort of motto or this mantra that they followed those in business when it came to Joe Biden. They said, you know, say it, forget it. Write it, regret it. So it was they tried to keep it all out of writing. They referred to him as, you know, the big guy versus Joe Biden. So I think that we'll highlight that. Plus, just the number of times where Hunter Biden's business partner, who we've had in under oath for depositions, said one thing. And then when we had Hunter Biden, he said something else. So I think we'll highlight those contradictions as well tomorrow in this hearing.
Congressman Jim Jordan, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, on Greg Kelly Reports. And tomorrow is, of course, today. So you have the funding package, the Hunter Biden hearing, the Afghan pullout, the presidential race. President Biden is still in Arizona and headed for a big private fundraiser today in Dallas. And today is the day that Fed Chairman Jerome Profit Killer Powell will speak about the future of interest rates. The market is likely to either tank or have a pretty good late-day rally. So keep it on Newsmax all day long and make sure you're getting the new Newsmax Plus. Simply go to newsmaxplus.com to get signed up. You can also get a free trial there. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts. Rob Schmidt Tonight, Greg Kelly Reports, The Balance with Eric Bolling, Bianca De La Garza on Newsline, Carl Higbee, Wake Up America, and more with fantastic analysis from all the experts. And thank you for checking out the Newsmax Daily. Share it with your friends and family. I'm Tony Marino. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your ravioli and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.